Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
And we are joined today by Wendy Wason.
Hey, hi.
Hey, have I pronounced your name properly?
You certainly have.
I'm not wasting any time.
There you are.
Oh, God. And so it begins.
Okay, so, hi Wendy.
Hi.
You're a comedian,
an
actress, a writer, a voiceover artist. We'll get...
Someone's been on my website. Look at you researching.
I know how to use Google.
The day this woman discovered Wikipedia was a dark day for culture.
Do you know what's a shocker? My uncle told me a story the other week there because he has got three young boys and he'd called his middle boy, he's called, Stephen, get through here now! Because he'd been checking the history on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
And Wikipedia had come up.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, tell me now, what is Wikipedia? My little cousin's like, it's an online thing. It's an online encyclopedia, Dad. Ah, all right, as you were.
Yeah, so that's what you are. And you're a mum.
I'm a mum.
And you, being a comedian and actress, you've been on really amazing things, like... Let me read my notes. Sherlock.
Wendy.
Yes.
Have you touched Cumberbatch?
I have. Have you? He's held the baby. He held the youngest one.
Oh.
Benedict Cumberbatch smells very nice.
Of course he does.
He smells nice and groomed and he's very nice.
I imagine something like an Acqua di Parma with maybe a hint of,
It's very clean and fresh.
Did you sniff his hair when he wasn't looking?
He just smelled nice. And I was like, you smell nice. And he said, thank you. Aww. But I was quite funny because walking to set, I was like, God, look at this big crowd of people. What are they there for? And then it was like, me? Oh, God. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, he didn't solve that crime, did you, Wendy? That's why he's a detective.
That's why he's Sherlock. And I'm just a small part of the show.
Yeah, anyway, was it sort of like a flowery smell? Or was it more a sort of...
No, it was clean and fresh. Not musky. It was clean and fresh and sort of citrusy and,
Very nice.
Might just need to take a moment. You carry on.
All right,
yes. It's a nice sort of that sort of Prada clean but masculine smell. Do you know what I mean?
A little bit gay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I like all my
Almost
men.
Gay.
Yes.
That would be a great name for an after... I would buy my husband an aftershave
Almost
called
gay.
Almost Gay. Ooh. That is a great name. Lovely. Almost Gay would make a nice Farrow and Ball shade as well.
What colour would it be?
We should workshop this after the podcast.
We will.
Okay. After a few more vinos.
Now, going back to your Wikipedia research, Helen, also said, Wendy, you've starred alongside Nicholas Lyndhurst and Johnny Depp. Who was the sexiest? Oh, she's thinking about
Here's
it.
Here's a weird thing, right? Because Nicholas Lyndhurst's lovely. Nicholas Lyndhurst is good fun. Johnny Depp is that kind of... I did a film with him and I was pregnant with my middle boy. And I remember, like, I was in the sort of corset thing and the baby kicked... And I was like, oh God, the baby's kicking. And him and John Malkovich came over and put their hands, they were like, oh, and put their hands on my stomach to feel the baby kicking. And I was kind of like, this is a bit weird. And then looked up and I just thought every woman on set scowling at me. I was kind of like, oh.
They're touching Johnny Depp's me. Like,
Johnny Depp's sort of attractive and good looking, but doesn't have that, like, John Malkovich has got this sort of sparky dangerousness that's sort
he
of
looks
exciting.
Like he'd be really dirty and...
Yeah, throw you about
a bit. Yeah, a bit crabby and bitey.
Johnny Depp might ask permission, but I don't think John Malkovich...
Yeah, a bit sappy and wet-handy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I was going to tell about Nicholas Lyndhurst. He was, when I was working with him, he's got his private pilot's license. He flies planes.
Right.
So, and only fools and horses are a bit cool, but I think what's weird about the jobs that we do is that sometimes you're talking to someone who has a different lifestyle to you altogether, and he was looking for a new house, possibly in France, but he wanted one that he could fly his plane into.
Wow.
You suddenly go, my God.
We've come a long way, Rodders. Fucking hell, yeah.
Blimey.
Wow.
So he wants something rural.
And he was like saying,
nice
like, John Travolta's got one that he got a house that he can just fly into. And you think, my God. Yeah. I think if you've been at the top of your game for so long.
Yeah, John Travolta also thinks that we're related to space aliens. Yeah. So I don't know how much I'm going to take him for lifestyle advice.
John Travolta is definitely not gay, though, is he?
Yeah, that's the sequel to Almost Gay, the new Aftershave.
Definitely not gay.
The spills of car tyres.
With a free hair weave.
Oh, good old John Travolta. He's so confused.
He's not gay, though, Helen.
Not gay.
Not according to our lawyer.
No, exactly. So. On our free podcast.
So, Wendy, tell us about your family.
My husband is called Stephen. I've got three kids. Isabella's 13, Max is 11, and Riley is 4.
All right.
You've got a full house.
I've got a full and busy and loud, quite a loud house.
I bet you do. Yeah. There's a lot of... Yeah, well, the four-year-old is the loudest.
Yeah, he's got the biggest voice of all three of them. What I find is, like, they're all waiting for each other to finish, so that as soon as one person finishes, someone else jumps in and asks a question, because they know that they've only got a limited time to speak. And then I've left the house, and I've not formulated thoughts like, pick up the keys, get the car keys, pick up the packed lunches and the PE kits.
Mm.
And you're just like, it's not that I don't have time to think. I don't have time to formulate a thought.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the sometimes the shit they talk. You're just like, oh my God, I just have no interest in that at all.
Yeah.
And I know you make someone feel valued and worthwhile by listening to them, but there's got to be a limit.
Or there's look at this. What? It's a sticker I found of Mr. Bloom that I thought I lost 18 months ago. Like,
I love that. Watch that. What? Something unremarkable. But they are lovely. They're just a bit loud.
Yeah. So are you sort of looking forward to the four-year-old bit being over, or are you sort of trying to cherish it?
I'm cherishing it more than I cherish. The funny thing is, because I had my eldest two quite close together, I was kind of always like, oh, this is exhausting. And with my youngest, I'm a bit older and I'm aware of how quickly it all goes. Mm. So when I took him to nursery on his first day, I burst into tears.
Yeah.
The other two I was fine with, but I was kind of like, this is probably the last time. I mean, unless I get really drunk one night and have another child. this is probably the last time I'm going to be settling someone to nursery. So I was quite tearful about that. And also, I can't believe how quick it goes. Because Isabella's 13 now and she's, you know, a whole new level of conversation with her. And I thought also as well that when they got older, they'd need me less, and emotionally they need you way more.
Mm.
You don't have to put their shoes on for them, but they call you up all the time. And also with Find My iPhone, they know exactly where I am at all times.
Oh, wow. No, your own children are stalking you, Wendy.
You can't just going, I'm going out now to a meeting, and they're like, why are you at a bar?
Yeah. How's Regent Street? Oh my God.
When I met you last year, I remember one of the first things you told me was about your daughter and something she said about Malala.
It's really strange. I do think that my kids are going to, like, I'm quite a liberal parent. I think they're going to rebel by just being right wing. And when I was growing up, it was always like, oh, eat your dinner, there's children starving in Ethiopia that would be grateful of this dinner. And I'd be like, yeah, name one, Mum. Horrible. But Isabella wanted a day off school. And I was kind of like, no, you've got to go to school, because, you know, throughout the world, women are fighting for the right to an education. And you've got to go, can I stop you there, Mummy? I was like, well, she went, is this about Malala? I went, well, yeah, as a matter of fact, it is about Malala. She went, I'm sick of Malala. I thought, oh my God. She got shot in the head by the Taliban for trying to go to school. And Bella was like, well, yeah, maybe she didn't blog about it so much, the Taliban wouldn't know where she was. She's like, oh my God. And I kind of feel like, it's just really awful. She's just sort of so anti, and like, I'm really torn between being appalled at her attitude, but being quite delighted that she's so well informed.
She's a free-thinking individual, yeah.
And she wants to rebel against something. And if you want a day off school and you're 13, you fucking hate Malala, because she's going to come up in every parent's argument about why you have to go to school.
I used to just fake notes and go to KFC.
She's on it, and she's sick of feminism as well.
I wish she knew.
We should get her on the podcast.
I get it at school, I get it at home. It's just so, I'm just so over feminism.
Yeah. Oh, are you now?
All right, okay.
Yeah, great. I want more patriarchy. Yeah. That's what this country needs.
Well, aren't you lucky you can be against that, my love?
Well done for being able to vote against feminism. Yeah. Congrats.
Well, she has it. Like, every Friday, she's at girls' school, and every Friday they have an inspirational woman assembly. So she's kind of like, oh, it was Marie Curie today. But I don't know what they played. They played Radioactive, which is quite a good song for that, I thought.
What I would have paid to have gone to a school like that, because I went to like a country Catholic school in Australia, which was just horrendous, like awful. And then like to have inspirational women.
Oh, mate, be honest. If you were like 14 and they were like, today, it's Marie Curie day, would you have been like, yeah, no, you would have been like, wreck off, I want to go home and listen to Craig McLaughlin.
That's right, why isn't it Kylie day?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, all right, Mona. Anyway.
They do just want to rebel against stuff,
yeah,
don't they?
Yeah, they do.
So how much does your family influence your comedy, and like how much of your material is about being a mum?
Well, quite a lot of it, because it's my life. Mm. And I think if I was a boy in my late 20s, early 20s, I'd be talking about wanking and Star Wars. Mm. But I'm not, so I'm talking about wanking and children. I do talk quite a lot about trying to maintain a relationship, because it's not easy maintaining a relationship. Like, I think sometimes you have to sort of, you're like, we need to do this, otherwise we're mates. Let's just get down to business.
Yeah.
And we have been caught, like, in fact, on Sunday morning, my husband's going to kill me, on Sunday morning, we were sort of getting busy.
Yeah.
And Steve went, and we turned, and there was Riley. We were under the covers.
This
is a four-year-old. We're standing there. And I went, oh, hi, Riley. And he went, why were you cuddling Daddy? And then you jumped off and went all weird. Like,
I'd be like, well, I just realised that Daddy's dead. No. So that's
I'm trying to help Daddy go back to sleep again. I'm rocking the bed so Daddy can go back to sleep again. But obviously it's not what he didn't see anything. He just saw my reaction. It was hang on a minute, something's going on here.
Yeah. Do you know, like, block the door? We had to do that. We did that Sunday morning. The kids were watching telly, so we just like piled up a whole lot of clothes against the door, barricaded.
I need to get better at that.
Yeah.
Then I kind of feel like there's a plan. I quite like when it sort of just sort of emerges and like, oh, we appear to be having sex. That's exciting.
That is a nice thing. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Right, going, right, now we're having sex. I'll put the alarm on. You get the pillows. We'll lock the door. We'll put on Peppa Pig. Make sure you've got it on repeat. Otherwise, it'll stop after 10 minutes. No. It kind of feels like a mission rather than a sexy time.
Yeah.
Well, I had one shocker when Max was little. He was about 4 and we were staying at a friend's house and the kids were all downstairs playing.
Mm.
And I was like, the kids are downstairs.
Yeah.
Shall we?
Shall we? Yeah.
So Stephen climbed on top of me and all of a sudden I was looking at his face and his face just sort of fell and I was horrified. We were under the covers. I was like, what is it? And Max had walked in and was tickling his feet.
Wrong.
No, I'm inside your mother.
Now, Helen and I, we watched a bit of your comedy on YouTube earlier, and one of our favourite routines is the Spider-Man routine.
Oh, yes.
Because we've got 4-year-old boys, so that's a subject very close to our heart.
They do land you in it, kids, don't they?
Yeah.
They land you in it all the time. Max got really into Spider-Man when he was little. And he found an old DVD. You know, they've made Spider-Man like 5 or 6 times. There was a good Spider-Man and a bad Spider-Man. And good Spider-Man wore the red Spider-Man outfit. And bad Spider-Man wore the black Spider-Man outfit. And when he was bad Spider-Man, he punched his girlfriend. So obviously I stopped the DVD and went, this, Max, that's one of the worst things a man can do. You must never, ever, ever hit a woman if you got that. And he's like, yes, Mommy. And then a few days later, we're out having Sunday lunch with some friends. And Max starts up, hitting a woman is one of the worst things a guy could do. And all the boys are like, all right, yeah, that is one of the worst things. And Spider-Man hit his girlfriend, but that's only because he was black.
Wow!
And of course, the whole room's looking at me, waiting for me to go. And I'm like, I'm not racist. It's the film. I'm not racist. I'm not racist.
It's costume.
One cares because by then the damage has been done.
That's right.
And a cute little boy with blonde hair is saying that black people hit.
The Aryan child.
Yeah, the Aryan child.
And you're doing Edinburgh again this year.
I am, yes.
I Googled you the other day, and the first thing that came up was a little movie of your husband shooting himself in the mouth.
So I'm not the most easy person to live with when Edinburgh comes around, because you kind of, you're doing Edinburgh for August, so July is gone. July, you're anxious about the show and you're previewing the show. In an ideal world, I will have written the show by March, and I'll have previewed it all through April and May. By June, it'll be bedding in. By July, it'll be done. By August, I'll just sail into the Edinburgh Festival. That never fucking happens.
No, God, no.
No. Around about July, I'm panicking because the show's not written. There's not
you're
enough
shooting
show to
bricks.
I'm shooting myself.
Yeah.
I've paid, it's about 10 grand to go to Edinburgh. And it's a trade show. It's not like people go, oh, it must be so much fun. Fuck that. It's not fun.
No.
It's not fun. It's just...
You are whoring yourself.
You're whoring yourself, and it's anxiety-inducing. And people at you when they didn't like your show on Twitter. Mm. Like, they buy a ticket and it's a pun. And you have to, people don't go, oh, well, you know, I saw someone I didn't see before. They go, and she's created something. They go, I didn't laugh at that joke, so I'm going to tweet her and tell her she's shit. Which is just so great.
But, so you're doing it again this year?
So I said to my husband the other day there, I think I'm going to do Edinburgh this year. And he just looked horrified and terrified. Mm. And then put a video of himself on Twitter shooting himself in the face.
Yeah, I saw that. That was the first thing that came up.
And there is an age difference between you and Stephen. You've done a whole show about that as well, haven't you?
No, I didn't do a show. I've done a
radio show, was it?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Half,
yeah,
half my age plus seven?
Yes.
See, I've read your website, sorry. Wendy. Come on.
Half my age plus seven is about... So Stephen is 12 years younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I met him, I was kind of like, this is just going to be a fling. And it turns out that when you don't want anything from a relationship and you put nothing on it, you're just the most reasonable you've ever been.
Oh.
I hate it when that happens.
So,
yeah.
And that's kind of, this is a fling, this is a fling. And Stephen's like, this is 6 months in. I think it's safe to see. Because I didn't introduce him to the kids for ages, because he was kind of like, can I meet your children? I'm like, no.
No.
This is a fling.
And then next thing, and then he woke up one day and they were tickling his feet. Yeah. So weird.
This is what you wanted. but yeah, so I wrote, and there's quite a lot of stuff, like I'd never been out with anyone in the days of Facebook. I'd never dated.
Mm.
And like dating is a thing, because like, you know, people sort of hook up on Facebook and like, and people sort of like each other's friends and meet up. Mm. And it was a weird, and also I find it quite weird how like girls that he had been like dating or stuff, or but women that he had seen would put stuff up on Facebook that felt a bit sort of territorial, and I was like, and I said to him, am I supposed to be jealous of this? Am I jealous of this? Are you seeing, what is this? I don't understand. And he thought it was quite sweet because I was just so honest about not knowing. Like, I remember once that someone put a photograph of him up in his flat, and it was him dancing, and the clock behind him on the wall was like 3:25 in the morning, and the picture was posted at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
But what she hadn't put up was like the sort of 20 other people around. So it kind of looked like it was her. And I said that, and I called him up next day going, I'm feeling weird about this. Is that, should I be feeling weird? And he was like, no. But
yeah, we were all naked.
But, but you know what I mean? You kind of, this is a weird situation.
Yeah.
But also, the great thing about a younger man is they've grown up with instant messengers, so they talk all the time. They're constantly telling about how they feel. They're totally in touch with how they feel.
Oh,
they,
God, it sounds like having a four-year-old. Jesus. Shut up.
But it's amazing to know that, like, if there's any weirdness, she goes, a weirdness? And it gets discussed. Rather than with, like, sort of older men I've been with who are, like, just go silent and mysterious.
Oh, that's... Oh, yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Fuck off. I'd rather have the constant checking in with feelings.
Oh, it's a lot cheaper.
Who doesn't know
the
how they feel.
Yeah.
You're like, oh.
That's
well,
good.
Can you figure it out, please?
No, it's all very instant and there.
Yeah.
I can't bear that. If you don't know how you feel like you don't really like me.
Yes.
That's, let me tell you how you feel. That's where we are.
But yeah, it's been a great relationship. And we were laughing about how I thought, fuck, I'm just going to write about what you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So you've been through divorce and you've come out the other side and you've done the whole new family thing. Have you got any advice for anyone who's going through that?
Yes, I do. My mum and dad had quite a bitter divorce, so I had that lesson that I didn't want my children to see the two people they love most in the world hating each other.
Mm.
And I think you make a decision to go, I'm not going to do that.
Mm.
And also you make a decision to go, however much I've been hurt, I can't hurt that person that much. You want revenge, and you want the person that's upset you to be upset. You want that, and that's normal. But yeah, I think you have to put it to bed and go, the best revenge is just to get happy. Just get happy.
Mm.
And park it for the kids. So we've had Christmas dinners where, bizarrely, my ex-husband comes for Christmas. And I think my husband enjoys having an ally there when the mother-in-law turns up. Because they both have a little shared giggle about my mom, and
yeah,
and the kids are so happy to see everyone getting on. And you know, I'd be lying if I said, oh, you know, we're just one of it. It's a work in progress, isn't it? It's not
but
easy.
But all families are. All families yeah. are.
And I think, like, I can't rubbish my own decisions by saying the person that I once married is a dick. I had two kids with him, and he gave me two wonderful kids. So there was great bits there that you've got to hang on to. I think you've got to hang on to that.
Mm. I mean, I've never been divorced, but the person I'm married to now is a dick. So it's, you know, it's strange, isn't it?
Well, you're just cutting out the middle, man.
I don't mean it. I love you. Please don't leave me. But yeah, I think is it Carrie Fisher who said there's just no point being bitter. Like it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to get ill.
Absolutely.
You know, is
absolutely.
That how you feel?
I totally feel that. And I kind of feel like there's such a joy in seeing your kids happy, and that you can park stuff. If you can pretend to be nice to the office bitch who is like, you know, that sort of frenemy type.
Yeah.
You can, and that's just, you know, and that's just for your career. You can do it for your kids.
But did you always feel like this, or was there like a dark period where you kind of didn't know if you were going to get
miserable.
Through it?
It was miserable, and it was awful, and I was upset, and I was sad, and I felt my parents divorced, and I didn't want to get a divorce. And then I went to, when I was on my own with the kids, I went to the family therapy, and the therapist said to me, so how old were you when your parents split up? And I said 5, and she went, oh, so the same age as your daughter. And I was like, oh, it's history repeating itself, I'm a terrible person. But then kind of thought, you know, shit happens, and it's not what happens, it's how you deal with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Which sounds so fucking new agey and stuff, but I do believe that you can just do some work on yourself.
I know.
And I've done a lot of work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
And a lot of wine. I think wine's important as
wine
well.
Wine is extraordinarily important.
It's one of your 5 a day.
It is. It keeps you very sane. And no, it's funny because I've done some counselling, and Will and I, my husband and I, have done couple counselling. And it's funny when the counsellor asks you some of the most obvious questions about, like, so what they ask you about what your parents' marriage was like. Yeah. And then you start describing your parents' marriage, and you're like, it's like my marriage.
Yeah.
Wow, you're a magician.
Yeah. How do you do this voodoo? It's so interesting. Oh,
Darren Brown is in the room.
So fucking obvious. And you go, oh yeah, that was shit then, and then it's kind of shit. Oh my god.
Yeah, but I remember going to see a therapist, and she's saying to me, let me talk about your relationship with your mother. And I was like, oh, my mum, she's so annoying. My mum. And I've told you about how loopy my mother is. She's bonkers. And she said, and who are you, what are your friends? I mean, who would, like, three closest girlfriends, what are their names? And I said, Kirsten, Orla, and Sarah. She's like, and what are their relationships with their mums like? I'm like, oh, all their mums are dead. And the therapist was like, right, do you want to take it from here? Or oh, yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. It's like Helen and I are best friends. Her dad's a vicar, my dad's a stand-up comedian. Make of that what you will. Right.
Yeah, and we both
it's the same thing, though, isn't it? If there's more stand-ups in the church, there'd be a hell of a lot more church attendances.
Oh, that's what I said to my dad. Like, spark it up a bit.
Come on, do a few fart jokes.
Yeah, come on.
I went to a launch of some Daily Mail You Magazine thing. And you know, the problem with being a stand-up is you think you can be funny and irreverent all the time, and people will know that you're just being funny.
Yeah, because you go, waka, 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 waka.
So I was at this launch, and Liz Hurley was there launching the breast cancer thing. She talked like she's got some marbles in her mouth and she's terribly. And before I started campaigning for breast cancer, nobody knew about breast cancer. And we've done this amazing work.
She invented breast cancer, as I recall. Yeah.
Elizabeth Hurley is amazing.
And she's an Estee Lauder. And she's an extraordinary looking woman. She's just, anyway, so she was doing this chat about breast cancer, and the woman next to me said, "What did you think?" And I, "Bit light on lols." And she was the editor of You Magazine. You sponsored the whole event. You're like, oh god, don't think I'll be getting invited back to any more You Magazine things.
Drink all the drink after that thing.
You just pink go, champagne to match the Estee Lauder pink perfume.
God.
But even in the darkest, that's the thing. The best thing I think my mum ever said to me was when I was in my late 20s, I think I had a cancer scare where the doctor like rang me and said, "We've got the results of your smear test, you've got to come to the surgery." And I was like, "Oh my god, what is it?" And they were like, "Just come to the surgery." And I was like, "Oh my god, I'm gonna die." So, and they just said, "Oh look, you've got some abnormal cells and it might be cancer, it might not, we've got to check it out." So I'd given up smoking like 6 months previously, and my mum was like driving me home, and I was like, "God, I just can't take it. I couldn't take the irony if, you know, having given up smoking, then I get cancer." And she just went, "Well, I don't know why you couldn't smoke and with your gob like everybody else." And I laughed, just involuntarily, of death, laughed, and was just like,
"See,
it's all right, it's all right."
I had that when I was 23. I had a bit of my, because I had the cancerous cells in my cervix.
Did you have the laser up there? I had the laser.
They burnt them off, and then they removed a chunk of my cervix.
Oh, yeah. Whoa.
And then they told me that I probably wouldn't be able to have children.
Oh, my God.
What?
So I came outside, and a friend had come to pick me up, and he was a stand-up comic, and I was like, "They say that I can't have children." And he was like, "I think you should be more worried about getting a boyfriend first."
And here we are, Wendy. We've both had our cervixes burnt with a laser, and we've got five children between us. It just goes to show, doesn't it?
Yeah. Dusty, warm, scarred cervix.
That's right. They've all got pointy heads, but it doesn't matter. They're fine. Well, that's enough family chat, don't you think, Helen?
Yeah, we've cracked that nut, Ellie.
There we go.
Excellent.
That's a catchphrase, Wendy.
Really?
We've cracked that nut. What do you think of it?
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, that's mine. All right, good. Great.
Well done.
That's my catchphrase.
She's going to get a t-shirt with "I've cracked that nut," and I'm going to get a t-shirt that says "That's my catchphrase." Because "That's my catchphrase" is going to become my catchphrase.
Yeah.
That's what I'm aiming for.
That's my catchphrase. I can record that for you.
Okay. It's like Boy Walker is in the room.
I do the different. I think it's quite funny when they call me up for a voiceover and like, "Right, in 1999 you did this really sexy thing for the sun," and it's kind of like, okay, so you have to go back and do the "Only in the Sun."
Oh, I like it. What else can you do,
Bond,
Wendy?
Bond is back in his new adventure, Die Another Day. Ooh. Only in this weekend song.
Ooh, Wendy.
I'm getting a bit Cumberbatchy.
Am I?
A bit natural musky.
Almost gay.
And then also the sunlight. The really high pitch. Only in this weekend sun. Really high pitch. Exciting. You're like, that's way too... You always do an over-the-top one for safety, and then you hear the advert and go, yeah, they've got the one where I'm a complete cock. It's so bizarre, though.
Yeah.
The voiceover art is really bizarre. Because quite a lot of advertising companies like to be out of the office.
Uh-huh.
So they'll all come to the voiceover. So there'll be like 10 of them sat there. Mm. And the voiceover studio waits on them hand and foot because they're spending a lot of money per hour to hire the studio. They're always in Soho, so they've got all the pick of the Soho restaurants, and they've got some little runner who'll run and get them all dinner or lunch, whatever. And I can't tell you how many times people have said to me, "Wendy, would you like some lunch? We'll get you lunch." I'm having to talk, so I can't eat because I'm talking. Voice over.
Well, you're welcome to eat on this podcast, Wendy. Help yourself to another crusty croc salty twist.
Yes, Little's
finest.
Love Lidl. Yeah. I'm obsessed with Lidl.
Oh, well, isn't that man?
You're drinking their Prosecco, so. Seeing as you've done like voiceovers for like the sun and that, could you do us like a voiceover? We have a section called Current Affairs now. Could you do us like a voiceover for that, like a jingly sort of thing?
And now time for Current Affairs.
Oh, I love that.
Very nice.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Very good.
Or we're going current now with some Current Affairs.
Very nice.
I like that. I like the lilt. There was a lilt to that one.
Very
good. The key to voiceovers is is to ask a question and then answer it.
Okay.
Gillette Blue 2, the closest shave a man can get.
Just, do you do this at home, like on your own? Just...
New clothes for Christmas? Try Zara.
Well, let's do some current affairs. Helen, give us a current affair to discuss in a topical and informative manner.
I can do that, Ellie. David Cameron has said that he will give money to the parents of Britain to do some parenting courses. This is coming from a man who left his child in a pub.
And stuck his cock in a pig's.
Exactly.
Lest we forget.
I think these are the top two rules.
Like, what made me laugh was I have some Waitrose. I was in the queue and we're talking about it and everyone started chatting and Waitrose as we're doing. There's an old lady behind me and she was like, you know, it's just youthful hijinks.
It's kind of like, what?
And thought, bizarrely, there's like two sections of society who would stick their cock in a pig's mouth. And it would be like poor farmer boys mm-hmm. and wealthy guys that can afford to buy a full hog. And yeah. The rest of us couldn't afford to have a pig around to even do that.
No.
Closest I've ever gotten is shoving a pepperami up there. That was a fun Saturday night out.
Very spicy.
Yeah, I mean,
as far as like,
yeah, do not go for the fiery.
You've made the pepperami angry. Angry pepperami.
I mean, do you think there's any kind of argument for parenting classes?
The thing is, parenting classes aren't going to be attended by people who need parenting classes. Mm.
But you see, I think there is an argument for teaching it in school along with I think you should be taught how to drive and how to do a tax return and how to like get a mortgage and how to like, you know, change a fucking
that kind of stuff. I think useful thing, because like antenatal classes are all towards the birth, aren't they? Mm. You go to an antenatal class and it's how to breathe during the birth, how to stand during the birth. There's nothing fucking useful there, because by the time you're having the baby, you're having that baby, it's coming out. Mm. And there's going to be medical professionals there. If you have a baby at home and it's not working, you'll go to hospital. There'll be people there to take care of that. Once you're pregnant, that baby is coming out of you. And there are people there that are dedicated to getting that baby out of you. You need to have classes on how to apply makeup at 40 miles an hour when you're late for school and there's three kids squabbling in the back of the car. That would be useful to me. I have never liked Lego or IKEA furniture. I don't like that fucking step-by-step putting shit together. Yeah. And I have two boys now, and I spend my life putting fucking Lego together, and I don't know what I'm doing, and I hate it, and I do it all the fucking time. I could have done with a class in that before I had a kid.
I was doing that today, making a mini Millennium Falcon, and Hugo having an absolute nervous breakdown because one blue bit was not on the table.
And there's no craft lessons. No. You don't get pregnant and go, here's your craft lessons. Or medical lessons. You come, like, your kid comes to you and they've got a sore tummy. I don't fucking know how to fix your tummy.
Yeah, I know.
So you're meant to, as soon as you become a mother, you've got this whole skill set that you're meant to have that you don't have.
If we were running Scummy Mummy's parenting classes, Helen, what do you think we would say?
I think the three principles of good things of parenting is love, encourage, and relax. That would be my three. That's it.
Yeah.
I'd say it works for sex as well, but anyway, carry on.
I think that's for both, yeah. But yeah, if you love your kid, you're present, you listen to a few stories.
Present, yeah, and don't be on the phone all the time.
Yeah.
But being present, I agree with you, but it's hard sometimes. It is hard when you're knackered and they're doing your head in, and I find it quite hard to just stay in the moment all of the time, because sometimes the moment is really irritating or boring.
I know.
And that's
But difficult. It's just a moment. Yeah. And I think, and also just, I feel like one of the key things is, for me, I have a ban on being on the phone when I do the walk to school. I'm not on the phone and the walk to school. I'm not on Facebook. I'm not answering texts, whatever, or emails. We walk to school, and that's that little time where we just chat. Yeah. And stuff comes out of that, I think. And then a little bit of time for them. And also not be on the phone when they come out of school. Sunday is a no device day.
Oh, okay.
No, does that include telly? Is that
no, we can watch TV together, but there's no laptops, there's no iPads, and there's no phones.
I like that.
Oh, that's cool. Very good.
Yeah. We have a similar thing in this house where on Sundays, Pete, my husband, is not allowed to go on Tinder for the whole day. Yeah. Just so we can spend a bit of time just being together and just focusing on us. It's nice, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. That's what families are all about.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Well, there we are. That's probably enough current affairs, isn't it?
Oh, that's
it?
Yeah. I really reckon we've really nailed it, Illy. So I've got a special thing for Wendy.
Oh.
Because Wendy hasn't listened to the podcast before. She doesn't know I'm weird.
Okay. She does now.
She does now. So I like to make a song up about the guests. So, but I thought I'd just make up my own tune for this one. And so I've based it on your name.
Amazing. I'm so excited.
Are you ready, Illy?
I'm so excited.
Never.
Okay, ready? Wuh is for woman. Wendy is a woman.
So you bought her a sanitary pad.
Yeah.
Really? Nice.
E is for energetic. Wendy is energetic. So
you bought her some cocaine.
N is for naughty. She's a bit naughty. So I bought you a G-string. D is for drama. She's so dramatic. I bought you a book about performing women.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, it's for youthful. You're so youthful. So I got you some cream from Lidl. So there you are. That's what? Your
I
that's
love
your...
it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, we've almost come to the end of the podcast.
We have. So it's time for the Scummy Mummy Confessions, Illy.
Uh-huh.
Shall we start with a listener?
Okay, so this confession is from Kerry in Raynham in Kent. Hello, Kerry. She says, my in-laws recently went to the theatre and after the show returned to find their car trapped in the car park. It had been locked for the night. They were only about 40-minute drive from us, so they called my partner asking for a lift home. Although it was a Thursday night, we had both drunk too much and couldn't drive. His mum then called his sister and she had to admit that both her husband and she had drunk too much to be able to drive. My in-laws now think we are all alcoholics. She doesn't understand that when you have young children, you need that glass of wine or seven every night.
Yes, you do.
You do, Kerry. You
well
do.
Well done, Kerry.
Thank you, Kerry.
Bloody yes. legend.
Oh.
And, you know, next time, just tell them to phone an Uber.
Yeah.
Don't even phone an Uber,
yeah,
don't
like
you?
That, so like
hello, Uber.
Yeah.
Hello, Uber. Hello, is that Uber? I need one
this
of your
Ubers. This is Paddington 212. Yes.
Number 4, London. anyway, Helen, have you got a scummy mummy confession for us, please?
On Saturday, Illy and I went to a wassailing event.
Ah, oh, do they have wassailing in... Is it wassailing
here
or wassailing?
Here we come a wassailing. That one.
Yeah. Do they do it in Scotland? Is that a thing?
I don't know what it is. Tell me what it is and I'll tell you if we do it.
You explain, Helen.
Do you have that in Scotland?
Yes.
You know what? One of the neighbour's fucking kids came along to see me the other week there because he's doing a project on immigrants and he's like, he might interview me. And I'm like, dude, I'm part of the United Kingdom.
So Helen, what is wassailing?
Wassailing, well, it is an old pagan ritual in which you sing to the trees, apple trees, to awaken them.
So no, we don't do that in Scotland.
so on Saturday, I invited Ellie over to...
Oh my God, you Scottish, you're so paranoid. Not everyone's trying to invade everyone all the time.
Come on, I'm the Australian. I invited Ellie over to a wassailing event, which is our local... allotments across the road from us, in which we all gather around and we sing old pagan songs to the apple trees to awaken them.
You How fucking
cute.
Hippies.
I love that.
So Ellie arrived, right?
It sounds nice, doesn't it, Wendy? It's like the Wicker Man.
Oh, okay.
That's what it's like.
There was a man wearing a hat made out of an entire fox. Yeah.
It had a brim. It was like a fox brero.
So they put a bit of salt on the apple tree and some cider-soaked bread, which they put into the tree, and which Ellie heckled at the back. It's like feeding eggs to the chickens.
I didn't heckle. I said that quietly to you. I would not be disrespectful in that way. I said that under my breath.
So, yeah, that's what we were into. But everyone was sort of getting into it. And then my son and Ellie's son, who were born 11 days apart, were just going, bum, bum, poo, poo. You know, like, every time they were singing them.
People were shushing them.
Children.
An older man going, shush, children, shush. And I was like, mate, you are shouting at a fucking apple tree and you're telling my child to shut up. Like, really? Really? Are we taking it that seriously?
Have a word with yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. Or, you know, you'll be on the bonfire of Edward Woodward if you don't look out.
Yeah,
do you know what
exactly.
I mean? So that's our joint confession.
Yeah,
I think.
And then our kids just ate like handfuls of marshmallows instead of actually burning them on the fire.
But I like that.
Good times.
It's very
yeah.
nice, yeah.
I did a bad scummy mummy thing, actually, which is not that bad, but I felt quite guilty. Riley, who's 4, hadn't opened all his advent calendar. And it was kind of more tidying up than stealing chocolate.
Right.
You were decluttering.
I decluttered all the chocolate from this.
No, I think that's all right. Have you got another scummy mummy confession you'd like to share, or is that your...
Oh, I've got loads of them. I might have had one scummy mummy confession where I thought... I remember being out one night, and it was when Max and Bella were quite little, and I'd been out drinking till the dawn in the Groucho Club because they gave me a free membership 1 year. And I thought it was so cool, and I had a babysitter that was like, I've got a meeting in the morning, do you mind if I just stay over? And I was like, do I mind if you can stay over? I am fucking wet in my pants right now because I am not coming home till 4 a.m. Boom. So I was out drinking the Great Club, pretending I was best friends with Noel Fielding and all these. And I came home and I remember thinking, cool, and set my alarm, got up at 8 o'clock in the morning, got the kids up, got them dressed, went to the nursery, dropped Max off at nursery, dropped Bella off at class, and I was like, I am fucking nailing this shit. Got home, glanced at myself in the mirror, and I had all last night's makeup on, but just, like, smeared across my face. Like, red lipstick one way and, like, black eyes just all down my cheeks. I was like, fucking hell. Because those teachers must have called social services on me. I must have been breathing booze on them.
Yeah. Go, hey guys, yeah, great.
But also, I ring up and be like, I'm in a Cure tribute band. That's kind of
like, but it was just so much work. So I was like, nailing it, hashtag nailed it. Drank till the dawn, got the kids up, fucking nailing it. No.
Oh, that's brilliant.
That is a wonderful confession, Wendy. Thank you for sharing. Thank you again, Kerry, for sharing yours. And thank you for listening to the podcast.
Excellent. Where can we find you, Wendy?
You can find me on Twitter at Wendy_Wason. Don't tweet the other Wendy Wason because she's a realtor in San Francisco and she gets really cross about it.
I'm going to tweet her.
San Francisco.
For anyone that's listening in Northern Ireland, I'm doing the Blame Game TV show about topical... Current affairs.
If you like, Wendy, you can do that on your show if you like.
And I'm doing a new show at the Edinburgh Festival. Come and see that. It's all about all the different roles we have to play as women. Mother, sister, wife, ex-wife, daughter.
Excellent.
Has it got a name, your Edinburgh show?
It's called Tiny Me. Wendy Wason, Tiny Me. I think of myself like a Russian doll because you see the big me, but there's so many other roles in amongst that. By the end of it, when somebody says to me, when I think of myself as a small person in the Russian doll. So when somebody says, like, "Oh my God, what do you think about Syria?" I'm like, "Well, I know that it's piano on a Monday and gymnastics on a Tuesday and football practice on a Wednesday. Can I get back to you on Syria?
Yeah.
In 2 minutes.
Let me tell you what. Two words: Wikipedia.
Wikipedia.
Your new best friend, mate. Your new best friend. Well, if you've enjoyed the podcast, please tell your friends. If you leave us an iTunes review, that really helps because it gets us up the charts and that. And that's
right. Currently, we have 69 reviews. So if we could just...
What? We're on the Facebook, aren't we?
We are. Scummy Mummies Podcast. We're at Twitter. We're at Twitter at Scummy Mummies and Instagram at Scummy Mummies as well.
Wendy, you've been brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
Until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's interesting because you're obviously very good at accents, whereas Helen, would you like to do your Scottish accent for Wendy so she can rate it as a professional?
So I lived in Scotland for 6 months in Glasgow. So what should I say?
Ochai the new. Well, that's okay.
See, that's not bad. That's okay. Bad.
See, I'm going to batter you.
Yeah.
See that?
I'm going to batter you.
I'm going to batter you. It means I'm going to...
Oh, my God. The amount of batter that I ate when I was in Scotland.
Actually, only at university.
It's
only
amazing.
At university.
It's amazing.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.